You say, when did the midweek prayer meeting start? World War II is when, actually, I think it was World War I is when it started. And people got together and started praying for people in harm's way, and prayer actually broke out. They actually had a pretty widespread revival because of a few businessmen that would meet a half hour a day in New York, and that just began to grow and grow and grow. And next thing you know, they had to rent buildings because so many people were taking their lunch hour to come, and then it spilled over to more hours, and people started getting saved in those meetings, and it went to churches. People started preaching the gospel, and then more people got saved. And God just honors prayer. How many believe that? I know He does. And it's something that we just don't do enough. And so I want to encourage you tonight about tomorrow. How's that? In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of, what's the next word? Tomorrow. It's actually two words in the King James Bible. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And excuse me, I need to pray one more time. Heavenly Father, I pray now as we open the Word of God that You will help me, that You'll give us all wisdom, open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And I pray that Your Word would have free course within us, not only collectively in this room, but God, in every heart and every individual that has the Spirit of the living God in them. For if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. I pray that You would guide us into Your truth by Thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we take Your Word and hide it in our heart, I pray that we would not sin against Thee, especially concerning the matters we'll talk about tonight. We sure love You, and we thank You for loving us. I pray that You'd use me tonight, Lord. Help me to be emptied of anything vain or self-sufficient so that I could be filled with Your Spirit and used to bring glory and honor to You. We pray that You'd bless again these that are here. In Jesus' name, amen. As we reopen our study through the book of Proverbs, I marvel at how the subject matter has recently hit me so close to home. And I would like to challenge every one of you here tonight to listen well to God's admonition as to the importance of a day, specifically the day you are living in, not the one that you're planning on. That's the admonition here in Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day, the day that you're currently in, is going to bring forth. At any given moment, do you realize that your life's plans, your expectations, your goals can be changed? And it has nothing to do with you. You may be driving home tonight and you may have an accident that will change the course of your life forever. And the admonition here is that, listen, since you don't know what's going to come, just handle what you are currently dealing with. Everybody with me so far? Without faith, then, in an immutable, omniscient God, in those circumstances, life would become misery. For people who don't live with that kind of faith, that do not trust in a God who controls all things and is trying to work all things together, not only for good, but for His glory, life would be miserable without that kind of faith. Consider Job. Job and his family were living lives as normal. In fact, there was no one that was like Job. He was righteous. He was more wise than any man of the East. And his family loved God. And they were all decimated in one day. He lost everything. He lost all of his family. My wife and I thought today, what would that be like, Dave? To lose every soul that belongs to you and your wife, and your wife turn your back, and all of a sudden, it would be misery for most of us. But not Job. He never cursed God or blamed Him one time. Unbelievable. Not for Job. Consider Joseph. He just simply was loving life. He was a bit of a dreamer. He loved God, and all he knew was that God had big plans for him. He went to check on his brothers, and he ended up in Egypt in slavery. Just like that, he was thrown into a pit. Consider David was one day playing his harp, the anointed one, and he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He loved God. He thought God was the great shepherd, and as he was playing his harp to soothe the king's disturbed mind, he had to dodge a bullet, or a spear in his case, twice. Went on the run. His life changed. Paul was just saved. He was a Pharisee of the law, blameless. He had a long, rich history of being a Jew, and now all of a sudden he shed a dead old religion and became born again on the road to Damascus, and all he was doing in Lystra was preaching the gospel, and he was left bloodied. In fact, left for dead. Just like that. His life was changed. In every one of these testimonies, no one but God saw what was coming, but every person accepted each instance for what it was, a gift. They didn't plan on it. They had other plans. Paul certainly was desirous to go into Derby, but God said, no, you're going to have to go to Derby after you die here, and then I'm going to bring you back into Lystra. You're going to go back into Iconium. You're going to go back around through Phrygia and go back to Antioch. And every one of them, the same may be said, I suppose, of us, perhaps. Every person accepts each instance, Lord willing, by faith. And every one of these people that I mentioned were all better for it, as they did, because they lived in the moment for what it was, a gift. Adoniram Judson, the great missionary of old, said this, and I quote, "A life once spent is irrevocable." He said, "It will remain to be contemplated throughout eternity. The same may be said of each day. When it is once passed," he said, "it is gone forever. All the marks that we put upon it will exhibit forever. Each day," he said, "will not only be a witness of our conduct, but will affect our everlasting destiny. How shall we then wish to see each day marked with usefulness? It's too late to mend the days that are past. The future is in our power. Let us then each morning resolve to send the day into eternity in such a garb as we shall wish it to wear forever. And at night, let us reflect that one more day is irrevocably gone and indelibly marked." How did you mark today? Was it for eternity or for yourself? How did you take the 86,400 seconds that were given to you? How did you use those? I think they were minutes. I can't remember now. Minutes. Let's imagine that a bank credits your account each morning with $86,400. Wouldn't that be awesome? No balance is carried over from day to day. Any balance is deleted each evening. What would you do when you knew that you would not use all your daily balance? Why? Withdraw every farthing. Of course you would. You have such a bank, and so have I. The name of our bank is called Time. Every day we are credited with 86,400, it is seconds. Every night, that which we have not used is debited from our account. Time Bank allows no overdraft. There's no going back for a second chance. Time Bank does not allow borrowing from tomorrow. And of course, there are no leftovers. The clock ticks away, never waiting for sluggards to catch up. No waiting for what might have been. Relentlessly, the clock ticks and ticks and ticks. What are we to do? We're to invest our treasure wisely so that we obtain the best return in health, success, happiness, giving freely to those in need of God's love, the warmth of Jesus Christ, the teaching of our taskmaster, the Holy Spirit. As we look into this matter of today or tomorrow, I want you to notice with me very quickly three inspired truths from our text. First of all, I want you to see we have a present responsibility. A present responsibility. God here speaks, I believe, of three things. I'm going to give you the three things, and then we'll go back and dissect them. First of all, I believe he approaches procrastination. Procrastination. You know, procrastination, someone said, is my sin. It brings me naught but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow. Procrastination. Letter B is presumption. Presumption. Here in one verse, God says, okay, I want you to see three things. I want you to think about procrastination, what you put off from today that you just think you're going to get to tomorrow because you, in essence, think you're going to have tomorrow already, though you're not God. Procrastination. Then he talks about the presumption of, well, my plans are these for tomorrow, and yet God may have higher and better plans. Amen. The third thing I think he addresses here without even saying it is priority. Priority. So let's think about this. What must we do today? You have some check marks in your notes, and I hope that you can check these for sure. First of all, what you need to make sure that you are today is saved. Can I get an amen right there? You need to be saved today. Come, the Bible says, now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's Isaiah, the book of 2 Corinthians 6 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let me give you quickly five reasons why you ought to be saved today. First, because every day spent is a day lost. There's not a believer in here that got saved later in life that would say, Pastor, I wish I'd have been saved earlier in my life. How many would say that tonight? I wish I'd have been saved long before I was. Why? Because every day you spend lost is another day lost. That's the first reason. Let me give you a second reason. Because every day spent in procrastination is adding to the terrible number of things that you can never undo. That's the reason that you need to be saved today. Because all the things that you're continuing to do that cannot ever be undone, that are marking your conscience, that are searing your heart, is going to be undone forever. Thirdly, it's possible that at any moment conviction of sin may pass away from the troubled soul. The Holy Spirit of God may in fact cease to speak to you any longer. Let me give you a fourth reason, because death may claim your soul before we leave this place. God says, you have no idea what a day may bring forth. So now, come now and let us reason. Now is the accepted time. We don't know what may happen in the next few minutes. God says, I want you to stop thinking about putting something off. Last of all, you should not forget that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and he may return and take away his bride and redeem everybody right before your eyes, and you'll be left. Five reasons. Why should I be saved tonight? Check it. I hope you've checked it. I am saved by the glory of God. How many can have that testimony tonight? Another thing that you should have done today, and I hope that you will do, and that is you need to seek the Lord today. I'll tell you why. Because if you don't seek the Lord today with all you have, like we talked on Sunday night about loving him with all of your heart, I'll tell you what happened. The deceitfulness of sin will harden you, and you'll actually believe that you are okay, even though you're not. I don't need to confess. I don't need to be that sold out. I don't need to be that much of a soul winner. I don't need to be that much dedicated. Yes, you do, because Jesus died for you. God says, don't wait. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. You want to see what happens to people who harden their heart because they take it for granted what they have? Read the wilderness wandering that we're preaching about. 600,000 soldiers died. Why? Because of unbelief. They decided that what God had, they didn't need, and that he couldn't provide, and they all died short of all of the possession. Let me ask you a question. If you died tonight, how short would you be? Oh, you say, I'm going to heaven, Pastor. I've already checked that box. I already have taken Christ to be my Savior. Okay, what have you done with him? You see, the Bible says there's a difference between looking forward to being with Jesus and being ashamed at his coming. I don't want to be ashamed. I want to seek him every day. I do. And I want you to. God wants you to seek him every day. Don't procrastinate. Don't wake up. Don't say tonight. By the way, it's always easy to go on a diet tomorrow. It's always easy the night before to say, I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock. Yeah, right. It's always easy the day before. What about now? Don't say, I'll get right. I'll have revival when revival comes. I'll have revival when Dr. Getz comes to preach or when Dr. Rossi. I'll start reading my Bible when we go into missions conference. I'll start giving then. No, 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 no. Now is the time. There is urgency among us. Why? Because we don't know what the rest of this day holds. It's only 8 o'clock. I'm simply just explaining the text, friend. It says, boast not. That word boast has to do with a reason for pride. You know what we normally do with things given to us? We take possession of them. And God says, that's not yours. It's mine. I have created time. I put you within it. And so I want you to steward it. Steward it wisely. Be saved now. Seek me now. Don't procrastinate what you ought to be doing today. Listen to me. Go home and love your wife like Christ loved the church now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Submit and respect your husband tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow. Amen. Love your children tonight. Discipline them tonight. Give them direction tonight. Don't wait. God says, you don't know what's coming, but I do. I gave you a list. I could spend the rest of the night talking about people from Scripture that had no idea what was coming, but God did. Procrastination, presumption, James 4 and verse 13. Take your step with me over to the New Testament just for a minute. James chapter 4 and verse 13. This is presumption. Honey, I can't wait to go do this. We're going to go do this. And we have this plan, and we got that scheduled for next year and this scheduled for next week. And we're going to go out to dinner with this folks. And we're going to do all this kind of stuff. And we fill up all of our calendar. And we actually think that we're the managers of it. And God says, no, no, no. All such boasting is evil. Notice your text in Hebrews and James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go in such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what's your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, that's a good phrase to underline. What you ought to be saying is, if the Lord will, we shall live, period. And if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing, say it with me, is evil, according to the Bible. Presumption. This verse does not forbid preparing for tomorrow. It forbids the presumption upon tomorrow. God says, no, no, you need to plan, but don't trust your plan, trust me. Make sure that your plans have me in mind. Did you know the safest place to be for tomorrow is today, to be in the will of God? If God can trust you to the day, to today, don't you think he may give you another one? Maybe. Presumption, procrastination. Thirdly, is priority. I already put it down there, but I wanted to put it down there. Take with me, if you will, go to Matthew chapter 6 briefly, real quick. Please. Priority. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I am so thankful that in the holy writ of God's holy word, that there was a man named Job, and he had his affairs in order long before they went out of control. All of it was in order. Spiritually speaking, it was there. He had prioritized. Look at Matthew 6 and verse 33. We always read this verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the Bible says the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God says, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. Make that your priority, because you may not have another opportunity to do that. I need to make sure that God is my best friend. Amen. And so do you. I need to make sure that my wife is my priority, that my children are my priority, that my church is my priority, and then my job is my priority. I've got to have affairs in line. I've got to seek the Lord first. Seek the Lord first, then all these things. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible tells us the next box is redeem the time. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Dads, listen carefully. One father asked the daughter, Jennifer, what she thought were the biggest problems fathers have with kids. She said, and I quote, dads have too many tomorrows. You know, I'll play with you tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow. She was right. Daddy, you need to be there for your kids, building quality and quantity benchmarks of trust. Don't wait until tomorrow, or you'll end up wasting too many todays. Amen. Some people put off things for tomorrow that ought to be attended to today, while others worry about tomorrow and ruin the day. Someone says worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. We won't plan, we won't prioritize, so let's worry about it all. Present responsibility, I need to go on because we need to get out of here. God says, I want you to see this. Be careful what you say about tomorrow, because it's not yours, it's mine. Be careful with what you do today, because it's not yours, it's mine. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It talks about our present responsibility. Secondly, because there's a purposeful reason. Here it is. Letter A, only God knows the future. Only an omniscient, unchangeable, immutable God who is holy, who loves you, knows the future, and he's perfect in all of his ways. Turn, if you will, briefly to Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. These knucklehead disciples are still panning for the Lord Jesus to set up a kingdom, and he's getting ready to go to heaven and prepare a place for them, and they're still not getting it. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, and he, that is Jesus, said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Only God has the power to know what the future is, and only God will reveal it to you one minute at a time. One small sliver of what he created in your life at a time, as thou knowest, Ecclesiastes 7:5, not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh them all. I have no idea what God has planned for me tomorrow. I only has what he's planned for me right now, and I'm doing it. The question is, are you? The Bible tells us of the purposeful reason is because God only knows. He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way. Tomorrow's plans I do not know. I only know this minute. But he will say, this is the way, by faith now walk ye in it. And I'm glad that it is so. Today's enough to bear. And when tomorrow comes, his grace shall far exceed its care. But what need to worry then or fret? The God who gave his son holds all my moments in his hand and gives them to me one by one. Only God knows the future, and I hope that you're okay with that. A lot of people have a problem with that. They like to manipulate and try to manipulate God. Did you know you can't manipulate God? You can't direct God. What are we supposed to do with God then? Ask and trust. Only God knows the future. Letter B, only God knows what's best. Job 28, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. God knows exactly what's going on, and God by measure says, here's some wind, and here's some rain, and here's some grass, and here's some shade, and here's some sunshine. You say, yeah, but Pastor, have you seen what's happened in Houston? Yes, I know, but that does not change one thing that I know that God is. All I know is I need to trust him when hurricanes hit the coast. All I know is I need to trust him when your loved one goes to the hospital. You need to trust him when your loved one dies. I can't explain it, but I can trust him, amen. Because only he knows what's best. He's the one I read today who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Here's some more check boxes to you, though. I hope that you check before you leave tonight. What are we supposed to do? Knowing that God is the only one that knows the future, knowing that God is the one that knows all things best, you need to trust him. You need to rely on him. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, that's where people go wrong. But I don't understand it. I want to know why. I want to know how it works. It's not for you to know why or how it works. If God wants you to know, he'll tell you. God says, it's for me to know. I just am looking for you to trust me with all your heart. Did you check that box? Here's another one. Verse 6 says that I need to acknowledge him in all thy ways. I did some time meditating on this one today. For my own devotion, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he, the promise says, will direct my path. What does it mean? I need to acknowledge that God's still good. Amen. That he's always right. That his grace is always sufficient. That his mercy is new every morning. That his love is limitless. And that I can trust him. And when I do, he said, there, now I'll show you the path out of here. God says, I just want you to trust me. I just want you to know, and I want you to, look, even if you don't know how to ask, just go to the Lord in your closet and say, God, I submit. I don't care. I don't care what happens because I'm yours and I trust you. Do you trust him like that? When you don't know how to ask or you don't know what way to pray, could you just submit before Almighty God and say, God, I'm yours, and surrender again? Because the last time I checked, Romans 12 was still there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present. Every day, present. Here is a living sacrifice. I don't know what to do for. Look, I know what you're going through. I know what it means to say, I can't help. I don't know. I said recently, helpless is when you can't do something. Worthless is when you won't. What can you do? In some cases, not a whole lot. But listen, what you can't do, God can do. And that's what he wants from all of us. Trust me. I've got this. I have fearfully and wonderfully made you. I have created you. Before you were ever in your mama's belly, I knew exactly who you were. And I put you in that family. And I want you to know I've never not, you have never been out of my care and you'll never be out of my love. Acknowledge God. One writer spoke about the matter this way. Don't make the mistake of burdening yourself in the now with things that belong to yesterday and tomorrow. Never yield to gloomy anticipations. Who told you that the night would never end in day? Who told you that the winter of your discontent should proceed from frost to frost, from snow and hail and ice to deeper snow? Do you not know that days follow nights, that spring and summer succeed winter? Place your hope and confidence in God. He has no record of failure. Hallelujah. He's never failed. He's not going to start tonight because you think he is. That's a fact. God says, I want you to rely on me. Hope you can check that box. I hope tonight maybe you can check the box that you're acknowledging. God, I want to take note. I want to know. I want you to know that I know in the depth of my heart. God's no sense lying to you because you see me. I know you got this. And I trust you for all it's worth. I may not seem like it. You know what emotions are? It's the flesh leaking. That's what they are. It's the flesh leaking. You know don't say before God. Just say, okay. There's another box. Thank God for everything. Oh, man. When you seal that and it's well with your soul and you thank him for just who he is and what he's doing, the Bible says giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we express our gratitude to God, it's easy to emphasize material prosperity, isn't it? And the qualities of life that are wonderful to have, but easy to lose. Good health is a great blessing, but could be gone tomorrow. Into the most loving families and friendships, death intrudes when we least expect it. Our tables may be loaded with food today, but we could be out of work tomorrow and wondering about our next meal. How about taking a new approach to giving thanks? Instead of focusing on the traditional areas of food, family, and friends, let's thank God for what we cannot lose. Maybe tomorrow in your devotions, you can go to Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. That's a great place to begin. Because after considering the difficulties and calamities that can strip away the externals from our lives, Paul concluded that none of them shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God's love is unfailing, unceasing, unchanging, and unconquerable. That is, the Bible tells us, the purposeful reason. God says, listen, I'm the reason behind all this. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not, but I do, what tomorrow may hold. Let me give you the third thing, and we're done, a personal response. They go back to Proverbs 27, verse 1. You look at the two words, for thou. I looked up that. In the New Testament, there are several times where in the Gospel of John specifically, that Jesus says, for thou, and it's a call to a personal decision. Let me ask you a couple of questions and we're done. What did you do with today? Your time bank is almost completely expired. What did you do with today? How did you steward it? How did you trust God with it? How did you acknowledge? How did you thank him for it? What did you procrastinate? You say, man, I was going to read my Bible, but I didn't. And I'll just read it in the morning. It's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. It's the Word of God. Tell that to people in Papua New Guinea who's never had a copy of the Bible. And you got three or four, and half of them, you don't know where they are. The reality is, God says, I don't want you to put off, and I don't want you to presume. I want you to prioritize. Secondly, what will you do with it? What will you do with right now? Isaiah 55, 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. The present is given man in order that he may act in view of the future. To defer until the morrow what should be attended to today is the sad mistake which has destroyed untold thousands, Ironside said. The old Spanish proverb, the road of by and by leads to the house of never. Another trite saying reads, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. You ever heard that one? The English have a quote, it is procrastination is the thief of time. And it is like every nation has some kind of maxim intended to remind one of the warning of our verse. Yet alas, Ironside said, how prone we all are to leave for tomorrow matters which should be settled at once. Let me give you 10 rules for a happier living. Just listen, don't write them down. Give something away, no strings attached, number one. Number two, do a kindness to somebody and forget about it. Number three, spend a few minutes with an older person. Ask for wisdom. Number four, look intently into the face of a baby and just go, wow. Laugh a lot. Number six, give thanks 1,000 times a day. It's not enough. Number seven, pray or you'll lose your way. Number eight, work with vigor. Number nine, plan as though you'll live forever because you will live forever somewhere. Number 10, live as though you'll die tomorrow because you will die in a tomorrow. Father, I love you and I thank you for a brief yet very powerful truth rested and couched in the greatest book of all time. In the middle of the book of wisdom, we find, Lord, that you have given us a present responsibility. It is the 86,400 seconds we will be alive today. And God, I pray that each of us tonight would have our priorities right because we have no idea what's coming down tomorrow. I'm grateful for people like Joseph, Paul, Job, David, people who had their lives prioritized so that when chaos and enigma came to their home, they were not moved. God, may we be people of the book. I've set the Lord always before me, therefore I shall not be moved. I pray, God, that we would trust that you are the reason behind it all, that we would trust you with all our heart, that we would acknowledge you in all of our ways, and Lord, that you would direct our paths because of it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm lost. I need to be saved today. Pray for me. I'm lost. Anybody here like that? Just slip up your hand real quick. I'd love to pray for you. I wish my prayer could save you, but it can't. Anybody at all? Pastor, pray for me. I'm lost. I know sitting here, my heart is telling me, it's agreeing with the Spirit of God that I need to be saved. Pray for me. Anybody here like that? Just slip up your hand real quick. Just let me see it. I just want to pray for you. You can put it right back down. Anybody at all? Real quick, just slip it up. Christian, what decision do you need to make tonight? In the silence of 2 minutes, I'm going to ask you to make it. Don't boast. It's not yours. Don't put off till tomorrow what you should have done today. Act now. I'm going to give you 120 seconds. Would you go to God and would you pray?